We're beginning with Rosh Echad, Chelek Aleph. Shimshon is in the camp of Dan between Tzara and Eshta'ol. We're on the first page, which says a number 27 on the bottom. Samson is talking. At hoy eshet chayil. You, Samson is talking to might, to bravery, to gvura. You woman of valor, ben akiburim atzichonech samt. You have placed your memory among the mightiest. Shion kaskasin kaditil bashi. You wear armor that has kaskasim. Kaskasim is like the scales of a fish. So too, they had armor. The knights had armor that was made of scales. You wear it like a jewel. Chosen Yeshuot Kova Le Roshech Yofia. The crown of strength and might and inner fortitude is dwelling on your head, appears on your head. Charbech Lo Tidom Yuchada Cherev. Your sword is not silenced. It has been sharpened leman revot midam oivayich to be satiated from the blood of your enemies. Me'agudatech lapidim yalochu. From the cluster of torches, flames step forth. At gvura, you might, boy, come. Samson is inviting might, bravery to come to him. Po b'machane gvura yetofi. Here in the camp of the young lion, you should appear on nefesh tarog l'ruvot todayich to the soul of I, Samson, who is yearning to be satiated from your love. Po v'machane shvifon al orach, here in the camp of that snake that slithers on the path. That's a reference to the tribe of Dan, which is compared to the snake on the path. Me'az yizanek nedariv akoach, from way back when, can leap forth God, who is so awesome in His might. From the mountains of Bashan, He leaps forth to do mighty things. Ulam, but im lo shagiti. So Samson is turning to might, to this figure that we call bravery and might, and he's saying, "I want you." So now we see might is a woman, and Samson says, "I want you with me. I want your love. In other words, I want you to be a part of me. I want to be mighty." So Ramchal is starting our play. Shimshon has a job to do. He has to work on behalf of the Jewish people. What does he need? He needs might. Notice how Ramchal takes the might, puts it in the form of a woman. We're going to see the woman is what brings him down, but he's also showing us something. What is Gvura? What does the Mishnah tell us? Ezu Gibor. Where is real might? HaKovesh Titzro, one who can control himself. So on the one hand, might holds the sword and the burning flames, but the flames are controlled. They're on torches. She has a cluster of flames, but they're controlled flames. So Samson is inviting the might. Theoretically, he says, what is might all about? Come help me, because if I have might, then my sword will be dripping with blood. I'll take down the enemy. And yet the whole play is going to be about a whole other question. What is true might? Shimshon, where is true might? And do you really have it? So the play begins with a focus on, I'm looking for might. I'm looking for strength. Come. He turns to call it the angel of or the figure of might. Ulam, im lo shagiti. But if I haven't erred, if you turn over the page, you'll see the next page. Henitchadesh ket bilvavi ruach. Then I will merit to have a rejuvenated spirit within me. Vayemugalav kamot yama, and the waves of my heart will be aroused the way in the direction of the sea. Ruach ba'er hu'eimata v'fachad yafitzana neima v'zarach shemesh, because there is the threat. Where do you need might? Shimshon says, you need might to contend with that worrisome wind, the wind that brings fear and worry. And if you have might, then might will scatter the clouds of worry. and then the sun will shine. Vizarach Shemesh maybe is a play on words. The sun will shine, Shimshon will shine, right? Vizarach Shemesh. So if I have Gvura, then the Shemesh, meaning me, will be able to shine. Shemesh Bahiru Uvichnafav Chosen. That sun will be so bright, and its wings will be might. Uru na'efo, uru, uru si'ipayna. And so he says, arouse my thoughts. Achuzecher melumdei milchemet. Grab the sword. Use your skill at war. Lo et shechon ha'eto le'fachad. Now's not a time to stay in the tents of fear. Ozroi tigdal v'gam lo teila. Rather, the might of my arm should be aroused, should grow, should not tire. To oz yadita um yamini sela. My arm should be strengthened, my right hand should go up forever. If a man falls plundered by the closeness, the proximity of fear, he won't be able to stand. If fear overtakes a person, he can't stand. Because fear, and here the word timoteteu is a play on words possibly, because timoteteu could mean will cause him to crumble, and timoteteu can come from the word root of mavet, it will ultimately kill him. So what is Shimshon saying here? I need might. I need to be able to stand up against the enemies at war. And here in the opening paragraph, in the opening scene, we see how Ramchal is focusing. He's taking us in. Think about it. Where do you think you need strength? Where do you think might is shown? Where do you think, what's real Gvura? And he's taking the story of Shimshon and he's saying, ah, look at him. He asked for might. He's going to get it. Terem yachil yigva, terem nukat anashot etzim mipachat machaleu. Before a person has a chance to fear, he will die. Once a person lets fear enter the story, he doesn't stand a chance. You can't over, if you let fear enter the picture, you're a dead man. So I need bravery. I need might. And might is what will give me the fortitude, the strength to stand up to the fears of war. So what's Shimshon's job? Shimshon perceives his job to be a powerful warrior. And then he needs might, which means he needs the capacity to stand up to war. And what Ramchal is going to describe to us is that that's not enough. If you really want might, then the challenges of life are quite different. It's not enough to have the power to stand up without fear at a time of war. So again, let's review the paragraph we just read. We who know the full story of Shimshon, let's take a step back. I wonder, did Ramchal describe might as a woman? Because Ramchal is coming to juxtapose two potential women in a person's life. There's the Delilah, who will take out his weaknesses, draw out his strength, overpower him, and take all his power away, and bring him down to his knees, and ultimately bring him to his death. And then there's the Esh Hayil. Perhaps part of what Ramchal is alluding to is the idea that with the right wife, a person has so much more strength. They asked, who is the most powerful in the world? The advisors of the king asked this question in the days of Daniel, and Josephus records, they challenged one another to answer, who is the most powerful in the world? And Daniel responds, the woman is the most powerful. And after each one tries to prove their point, they ask Daniel, why do you say the woman is most powerful? So Daniel says, because all the might that a person spends, everything that he does, at the end of the day, he comes home with the spoils, and his wife, he tries to impress her. He shows her, look at what I did, and he tells her, look at what I did. And then she can say, wow, that's great, and he feels like $1,000,000. Or she can say, heh, and he feels like nothing. So who's the most powerful? After everything you did, there's this woman standing behind it all who's going to give you a grade. And that she's going to decide whether you feel good about what you did or not. So maybe when Ramchal describes the bravery and might being a woman, maybe Ramchal is also giving us some insight as to what should come forth from the correct marriage. It's supposed to give a person fortitude. And Shimshon is going to miss he's going to think might at war stems from this concept of might. And our focus is going to be the question of where's your heart? And if you can control your heart and you can do what's right with your heart, then you'll also have the might at war. Shimshon is given tremendous external strength. He's blessed. He has prowess. He has male prowess that's unlimited. He has prowess to take on a whole army. God has blessed him externally. But where is his heart? That's his own job. There God doesn't intervene. It's his job to develop his heart. And so Shimshon says, I need might. He says, I need might to stand up to my enemies. And we're going to see as the play progresses, and we know that Shimshon needed the might to stand up to his wife. He had enough strength to stand up to his enemies. They never took him down. But he didn't have the might to stand up to his wife. So then maybe there's a different concept in might. So that's our opening scene. Yes?
He was born that way. What's he praying or asking for and to who?
Okay. It's a good question. Let's see. Chelek Beis, second section. Cheshek. So the second section is a monologue of Cheshek. You have a young lad. He's wielding a bow. And he has wings of an eagle. And now desire will speak. Let's listen closely. What does desire say? Im ben kri'ei shem yelid ha-cheshek. Im ben kri'ei shem yelid ha-cheshek. Shem lo me'olam zikaron ba-sefer. I think for the first reading, we'll just translate things loosely, and then we'll try to understand the depth of what's going on here. So, if desire that's born is going to be among those that are famed, so then desire really, if you're going to rate him in the books of who's who, you want to rate fame. You want to rate desire? In Ben Kriyei Shem, if amongst those that are famous, Yelid HaCheshek, you want to enumerate the desire that's born, you want to enumerate desire among those that are famous in world history, so then you should realize that Shem Lo Me'olam, in world history, desire has a place eternally. Wherever you go in history, if you want to study history, you should know that desire is there. Zikaron Basefer, and he deserves mention in the books. Hayom be'et barzel be'et oferet v'tzuri chatzev kol topo lanetzach. And now today, with our metal pen, with our pen made of lead, we will engrave in a rock the might of desire for eternity. Ki od tir'ucha et pli'ad da'at. Because now you will see something amazing. Ki le'atzma otzma chitzai yavi'u. Because to itself, my bows will bring might. Le'atzma atzma, to the strength of itself. Otzem could mean oneself. Otzma could mean might. So it's a play on words here. Ki le'otzma atzma chitza yaviu. My bows, meaning those who I can impact, says desire. They're what gives me strength. You want to know who I am? I'll show you. So again, what's desire saying so far? You look at history, you want to know if I'm a part of history, everywhere you go, I'm there. I play a role in history. Ka'achad adam bilvava morech zeu ish ravonim v'amitzkoach shimshon moda ba'aretz. I, with my bows, says desire, I can melt hearts. Look at that tremendously powerful person, Samson, who is known throughout the land. Asher libo atziva, his heart is so strong. Kamatara lachetz lechitzayata, and I have taken that heart. Atziva kamatara lachetz, I have set up his heart as my target. Desire says, I focused. The little circle is focused on Samson. All my bows are focused on him. All my arrows are focused on him. Be'en zikim asur v'chavle'oni, without any shackles, You will see how I, says Desire, have taken Samson and bound him. I've bound him to poverty. Kalu v'chofshi ben asirei cheshek. I think this line alone is a classic that could be just posted on a wall. Kalu v'chofshi, he is bound, he is incarcerated and free among those that are bound by desire. Think about that line. If you'd walk tonight on Ben Yehuda, you'd see exactly what he's talking about. Bound and free. You ever see a dog? He's panting, he's looking, you know. Where's that bone? So is he bound or is he free? He's roaming around freely, but his desire overtakes him, so he's not free. So you have the same thing. You see a dog in heat. They're running around. They're panting. Where's that female dog? So that's what you have. You have bound and free with all of those that are bound by desire. Because when a person lets desire run his life, he's not free. He's running around. He's bound with his desire. He's not in control. Chazal say, there's a difference between one who is righteous and one who is wicked. Those who are righteous have control of the heart. Those who are wicked, the heart has control of them. In other words, there's always that desire. The question is, do I control desire or does desire control me? So, desire is saying, I have made my focus Samson. He will be the focus of my arrows. And you will see how without any shackles, I will be able to bind him down. And he will become like all those people who are bound by desire. They are bound and yet free. Look, it's more than that. When people are running after their desires, they'll swear they're the freest of men. I don't have to get up for Shacharis. I don't have to stop my internet or SMSs on Shabbos. I'm free. No, you're not. Because when your phone rings, you got to look. Are you free or are you bound? Of course I'm free. Now, I don't have to keep Shabbos. I take out my cell phone. I look at my SMS. As I answer, I'm free. No, you're not. I'm free. I can decide if I'm going to look at the cell phone or not. It can bing an SMS. I don't look. So that's the poetic form that Ramchal says. I'm going to show you, says Desire, how I, with my arrows, was able to tie up the strongest of men without using any shackles. I put him in the same dungeon as all those other people who are walking around free yet bound to desire. Bound by desire, hinei tir'uhu b'ntivot timnata. Look at him. He's walking through the paths of the city of Timnat, the Philistine city. Ach me'ashemi. But God has this plan that Samson should marry a Philistine girl. Al kenochila kilo eveliga umnamuila. That's why I pray, says Desire, that I won't work for naught. On the contrary, I will be successful. If from above they decree it so then you will see how he who is elevated and pure will be brought down before his friend. In other words, Desire says, I'm not pure, I'm not elevated, I'm that evil inclination, but you're going to see me win over that great pure giant called Shimshon. Because if in heaven they only allow me to, I'm going to focus on him and bring him down. We're turning to the next page, page 30. You don't have it. All you see is, it says 50 on the top of the page, line 50. Tirpenach anfei choach yadehu videirei olim shol bo yeyamenu. You'll see how the strength of the wings of his hand, in other words, his hands are so swift, they're like wings. You'll see how they're weakened, and his friend will take over him, will be victorious, will be victorious in overpowering him. In other words, I versus him, you'll see how I overpower him. So this is Desire talking. Okay, now let's see a little bit more depth. What actually went on here? Firstly, Desire describes itself as Yelida Cheshek, desire that's born. We have to realize that there are two types of desires. There's a desire that happens when a guy is sitting in Beis Medrash and he's trying to learn his Sefer, and suddenly his mind isn't here, his mind is somewhere else, And all kinds of visions and thoughts and fantasies start plaguing him. And he's very thankful that no one can read minds. And his chavrusa looks at him and he's got this glazed look. And he's just not here. That's one type of desire. There's another type of desire. A guy is walking down the street. He's waiting at the bus stop. He suddenly sees an ad and his mind goes wandering. He's walking. He's sitting on a bus. And a girl sits down next to him and his mind goes wandering. And there are two different types of desire. One desire starts from within. The other type of desire starts from without. One is the forbidden fruit on the tree. He's walking and he sees the fruit. And he knows, I shouldn't take that. But after Eve takes the fruit within, so then she starts having confusion from within. Hey, wait a second. Is God really in control? Does he know what I'm thinking? That suddenly all of life changes. Now there's turmoil from within. And we have both. Ever since that fruit was ingested, so we have both types of inclinations. But both of them are a product. They are both yelid. They're like a child that's born. Meaning, there's that first second when your mind starts wandering. And you can say, stop. Proof of it is that you're not allowed to wear tefillin and have improper thoughts. So obviously the halacha knew that an improper thought might enter one's mind, but the halacha says, you can stop it. So on the one end, the Talmud says, there are certain things that everyone errs in every day. It says, every person, every day has an improper thought. Yeah, he's got that. But then the question is, does he let it develop? Meaning we can nip it at the bud. It doesn't matter if it's the external thing we see, or it's the internal thing that starts. They are all yelid. They're all born. Just like it takes 9 months for a baby to be developed, so do our fantasies and our improper thoughts. Well, we let them develop. So I think that's why Ramchal describes desire as something that's born. Desire is something that's developed. A person doesn't develop a tremendous lust in 1 second. It doesn't happen. It's developed. A person lets it develop. A person fosters it. And I'll tell you a secret, a person wants to. There's something created within us that we get a certain satiation from it. There's a reason why it's called znus, from the word zan, from the word food. Because there is a desire, just like a person gets satiation from eating, a person has a desire which he wants to satiate. If he does it in a proper way, that's kosher, that's beautiful, that's a mitzvah. The problem is that if he doesn't have that venue, then he wants to satiate it other ways. I think the idea that desire describes how it will take down Shimshon and make him be bound and free at the same time is, to my mind, one of the most powerful lines in the whole play. Because very often we look at the Torah and we feel like, I want to be free. What a hassle. This is so tough. And if a person can only get that vantage point where he sees they're not free. They're worshiping their ego, they're worshiping the money, they're worshiping their reputation, they're worshiping what other people say about them. It's not a free life. When the Talmud says, "En lecha ben chorin ela mi shosek b'Torah," the only way to attain freedom is through Torah. Through Torah you can get that vantage point where you actually can make a free choice. You can look at the world through open eyes. It takes a long time to really connect to that concept. But I think that the terminology, the beautiful poetic terminology, that I will take down Samson, I will make him bound and free among all those that are bound to desire. I mean, they also think they're free. They asked, I think it was Rav Neria at the time, who was known for his Zionism, why he doesn't sing Hatikva. And he said, I can't sing Hatikva because the hope of Hatikva is Liyot Am Chofshi, to be a free nation in our land. And the term Chofshi in Tanakh is usually referenced not to positive freedom, but rather to negative freedom. The term Chofshi is usually a person who wants to remove the yoke of heaven from upon him. And that's not my desire for the state.
Chofsitzman, he was a slave and he is now free.
Okay.
It's not a negative.
I'm quoting. I'm just saying the term chofshi, kalu v'chofshi, usually, very often the term chofshi has those connotations. Okay, I hear.
I think so. I'm not sure, but
okay, I don't know. And the last line, I have a thought. I'm not sure if that's what he means to say. He says, "If from achmei Hashem hi." But this is all from God. I think there's an element of L'shem Shamayim every time a guy does things that are wrong. Meaning, if a person's conscience starts plaguing him, so we have answers why this is in line with what Hashem wants. There are all kinds of answers we give ourselves. I need a break. There's nothing wrong. What, am I going to be a fanatic? You know, God also wants me to have a good time. There are all kinds of answers. Achmei Hashemi. And Chazal tell us that where Samson erred was exactly that point. Meaning, there's an aspect where Hashem did intend for him to go to the Philistines and marry. But there's a fine line between doing it for Hashem's sake and being attracted by one's eyes. And Samson crossed that line, even though he was supposed to marry a Philistine girl. And let's just begin. We're out of time. No, we can't begin. We're out of time.